Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. Excuse me. I tend to keep frogs in my pocket. Anyway, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic-based evidence of how we've got here, what's going on, and our only way out of this mess. So, there are lots of things, and I can continue to rail, and I will probably revisit. The reason I revisit is because for those of you who don't write down notes regarding politics and what the party really should be doing and what they're not doing, how organizations that you're getting involved in, these what we call civic activist organizations, well, those groups and what they are doing, because there are a few that are trying to unite. And my hat goes off to those that, you know, are claiming to unite. The question is, if you're in any of those groups, the question is, why aren't they uniting with us regarding, and when I say us, Reclaiming the Republic, NLA, We the People Foundation, the Constitution Association, and many others that are uniting in fighting this unconstitutional slide into communism and taking back this nation and putting it right back onto the footings that the framers created, this the foundation of the Constitution. There is a process for this, and the process is, which is irrefutable, the process is referred to as Republic Review. So let us kind of slide forward, and what we want to do today is we want to get into, I would just say, the perspective of what's really happening, what's going to be going on, my perspective as to what we can expect out of the Biden administration or out of the climate. I mean, these things are kind of generic, but they have huge constitutional ramifications, and the overreach of the government is going to seem more and more unlimited. So we'll get into those types of things. But before we do, I want to actually let you know we do have a comment line. I've noticed that we've had a couple of people that have dialed in to actually talk. And so that basically means I need to change my back from break little diatribes about now's the time to dial in. What I need to do is actually change those out so that when we come back from break, instead of telling you to dial in, you should be actually, if at your convenience, at your time, you should be sending your comments or questions to 425. This is our dial-in number, 425-270-5416. I want to also, because I've been talking a little bit about our numbers jumping up. What I perceive is going on is we have the undoing of the conservative or the Trump effect. So whenever the presidential power, when there's that shift in the perception amongst the common man, because most of you who have been listening to the show are those who, I don't want to say are fixated, but you recognize just how bad things are and what we need to do. And you've been looking for the truth. You've landed on it. You found it right here because I don't pull the punches. I mean, who, what conservative entertainer, what conservative magazine or on-site publication has connected the dots for you regarding the Department of Transportation? Who has given you what I would say is the the irrefutable evidence regarding the ratification debates and how the Constitution was defined and their legal standing? Who? Nobody. And as a matter of fact, what we're doing here, and I'll just correlate this because I do see more and more people coming, and I see more and more people tuning in and not necessarily skipping a day or anything else, because I think people are starting to realize the exigencies, the or in other words, the urgencies at hand. Forgive me. I've got this perpetual frog. And so I think with people recognizing the real danger of a Biden-Harris administration, they are starting to get very worried, and now they're willing, those of you who are tuning into the show, I am telling you, this is not the news cycle show. We do not cover the news, nor do we care to cover the news, nor will I want to even cover the news. What I am not going to do, if at all possible, is to discuss those things that the conservative entertainment brigade are going to cover or are covering, unless I have no choice due to the constitutional perspective being missed or completely wrong. Now, I had a conversation, and I'm going to bring this up, and I'm hoping that Harry, that's what I'm going to call him, a friend, an old childhood friend. Harry, I hope Harry's listening. And I hope we start bringing in, because Harry claims to be the, you know, a middle-of-the-road guy that voted for Biden. Okay, I know everybody that usually listens doesn't think there's such a thing. They don't believe there is such a thing. And I have actually seen people make testimony that they just hated Trump. It was really not about who was the best president, who they personally liked. And to be honest, Harry's position was really more of a personal position than anything else, because when it came to executing the office of the president, Harry admitted that Trump actually was doing a better job at what he was supposed to do. It's just that apparently it's more important that we have a president with a little bit of refinement so that he's not just attacking people on Twitter. And I, one of the things I do, and I'll give credit to the blind Trump supporters, is that when Trump gets on Twitter, he was controlling the narrative. In other words, he was actually keeping the news media and those people that were trying to criticize him, he was directing them as to where to go, allowing him to basically kind of free himself up of doing some things. But in all honesty, I don't think that was necessarily wise or even a good strategy. But it is what it is. So with that, I just want you to know that we do have, and we want, as we get more and more listeners to start listening to this show, as people start realizing that the news cycle isn't going to cover it, isn't going to cut it, then it's time to actually start learning in addition to what you're hearing. Because I can give you all sorts of pithy quotes and make great sound bites if I wanted to sit down and spend and exert that energy. What I want to do is I want to weaponize you as a constitutional warrior. That's why we read the Constitution. That's why we read the ratification base. That's why we go through all of this content so you can actually understand what our government did in its founding and how it started migrating away. And so for the most part, we've already covered the ratification debates. We haven't really covered the Federalist Papers, but we usually do that towards the end. We've covered the presidential vetoes. We've read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's what we do once a year for recognizing Constitution Week or Constitution Day and so forth. We have kind of covered quite a bit of material, but the stuff that we have coming up, and actually, there was a lot of things in the last time I covered this. There were a lot of things that we really neglected to cover, and some of those things that we've really neglected to cover are things like the Monroe Doctrine. Okay, so what I want to do, because we just covered the vetoes, the presidential vetoes. Well, I think it's important that people understand the Monroe Doctrine and the paradigm of the framers and why they created this, and not to open the door of meddling, but to actually extend our shield of liberty. And so that was a good thing that James Monroe did. However, James Monroe did a really bad thing in the Missouri Compromise. I don't think that was a good day for him in his presidency. The other thing that we kind of want to cover, and what I'm trying to do is cover these things in a timeline. So we covered the cod fishery bounties, by the way. As soon as we finish the constitutional, reading the Constitution, covering the Constitution, the ratification debates, that type of stuff. In the timeline, we try to cover the cod fishery debates. We cover the resolutions, which are the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you the historical context and the academic evidence of what happened, how it happened, and what really went on, what most people, if you read anything regarding the 1798 resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia and the final resolutions of 1799 of Kentucky and Madison's notes on the resolutions of 1798 that he did in 1800, when you read anybody else's words, they'll tell you and talk to you about nullification and what nullification, and they're wrong. This is why we cover it and prove to you how nullification was not their intent. Nullification was a perfunctory process, period. And that was it. What they were trying to do was they were trying to enforce the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And just for those who are kind of wondering, because typically, I mean, I may have a frog every once in a while, but this perpetual frog that I've been hosting has been really the results of my recovery from pneumonia. And so there are still these little lingering effects, and we're talking 2 months later. It's just like, anyway, let me just kind of move on. We're talking about what we still need to cover. And so what we already covered in covering the Constitution after the ratification debates, because we do that once a year, we actually went through the Constitution completely, even the amendments, and we focused on, and we kind of glossed over the one amendment that we glossed over was the 14th. But we did cover in detail the 11th and the 12th. And so, and the reason why we want to cover the 11th as a highlight is because the 11th is where the government recognizes the need to, and actually this was driven by the states. The states wanted to make sure that they reeled the Supreme Court in, and because the trend was that the Supreme Court seemed to be aggrandizing their role. And so they demanded the 11th Amendment to be done. And then after the 11th Amendment, it was just even ignored more. My friends, this in itself, the 11th Amendment, provides what I would say is the evidence that sometimes amendments and the contention for an Article 5 convention that the states want to convene to make amendments, this goes to prove that it doesn't matter what amendments you put in, what matters is the fact that you have to enforce those amendments and those laws. And so what I'm trying to say is, and the reason why the 11th Amendment is important, is to prove to you that the last thing we really need to consider are amendments. What we need to consider and what we have to actually do is we've got to get the government to actually comply to the Constitution. Because writing more amendments is just more words and more things that the federal government will ignore. And look at the date of the 11th Amendment. Shoot, this was done in the 1700s. And I'm telling you that even they ignore the 11th Amendment today. And when Marshall started ignoring the 11th Amendment and some of the things, starting with Marbury v. Madison, right there in 1801, I am telling you that the Convention of States is impotent. It will not prove anything other than a waste of money and time. There's these dangers and everything else that everybody wants to subscribe to. I believe that we have to have an honest academic discussion on what, one, is the real problem, and two, the evidence that proves historically how even an amendment will actually get ignored, just like the rest of the Constitution is being ignored. So why would you stand up and just say, you know, a convention of states is dangerous? No, let's prove that spending the time on trying to amend the Constitution, when first of all, that's not even the problem, and second of all, it just gives the federal government more paperwork and words to ignore and violate. The focus must be on compliance. And so, and I've been dealing with people in the John Birch Society. I've been dealing with even Eagle Forum presidents and members who are ardent, you know, they're against the Convention of States like I am, but they keep on taking the stand of the danger of the Convention of States instead of proving that the Convention of States is impotent. It's getting false hope in something that does not do anything. It is a complete waste of time and money. And so it is being supported by conservatives like Levin because he wants to urinate on the Constitution. He wants to put his mark on the Constitution because he wrote these liberty amendments. And oh boy, I'm just so excited that, you know, he's got these great ideas when none of those have anything to do with the real problem. Let's address all of the power usurpations first. I think that it's okay not to personally attack, but you know, when somebody actually comes forward and says, I think that we need to do this, and they start championing their ideas, They're personalizing it at that point. It's one thing, you know, and I'll give you a good example. And before I move too far down this path of, you know, chasing all these rabbits, there are, and I know a politician that wants to create a 51st state. And so instead of trying to build a consensus and trying to get everybody to the table to create the foundation to build upon, what this politician did was he created and marketed his ideas, and he got a whole bunch of followers to actually support this idea. And so what he should have done was he should have pulled together the Red County commissioners and got them on board with this concept and say, this is what we need to do. We all agree here. And one of the great things that this politician did was he had evidence and the proof of what needs to be done. But why package it in how you want to spin it? Why not allow the other sovereigns of the counties, because that's their job, to champion that and to be, you know, the ringleader instead of being the dictator? And so what ended up happening was, as the taste in the most of these red counties started looking at the politician as the lightning rod or the problem. And so instead of actually embracing a good idea, they killed, you know, because they didn't like the messenger. Well, that's what happens when you kill the messenger. In some cases, you know, it may be warranted, but in most cases, no, it's not. And as a matter of fact, I would have loved to have seen the counties actually, you know, pull together and basically then stand up and point their finger at the politician and say, how dare you create the name of the state and create these things when that is the job of the people. And so, and we will take it from here. Thank you very much. And then take, you know, his work and give him due credit for his work and then take it from there. But it's typical for a politician to self-aggrandize. And that's the whole point here, is that what Levin and anybody is doing is they're trying to self-aggrandize themselves. I'm telling you, Republic Review is not about GR. And as a matter of fact, when states actually start moving, because I had this honest disclosure to this group that is trying to help and work with unifying, you know, organizations with the NLA and what we're doing. I ended up telling this person, because this person also has this idea of something that needs to be done after Republic Review. And I told the person, you know, once Republic Review begins, we, you and I, we no longer have input, because the state legislatures are the ones that own this. And how things move forward is up to them. Now, we can guide them and we can basically pressure them going down this path, but that's a different story, because we can get the people, as people want to know more about this, you know, obviously they'll probably come to me as a subject matter expert and, you know, what should they be doing and how they should do it. And we can influence those types of things. But ultimately, they're the ones that will be the legal representatives of the people in dictating how they are going to force the federal government and what they're going to force. And hopefully they don't think they can get away with cherry picking. If it is unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. It's like that big red zit on somebody's nose. You can't avoid it. You're staring at it and you're saying, you know, that's a problem. Anyway. But and I'm only going through, and we're almost halfway through the show, and I'm going through some of the content. And this is what happens when I get into these rat holes. But what we want to cover going through, you know, the content going before we get into the ratification debates, which are the ratification debates, should get us into, and I'll just say, probably towards the early summer. And then some, well, maybe, because we're sliding a little bit. January and February last year is where we started. And so we'll probably start in February timeframe with the ratification debates, or late February. But the other stuff, before we get into the ratification debates, I want to dive into the 14th Amendment in real detail. I want to actually have at least one show dedicated to all four sections of the 14th Amendment. I want to help you go through and read through the doc. I actually have the arguments of Congress in the Congressional Globe on the 14th Amendment. So how did they define it? That's why we go through the ratification debates to determine what it is that they were meaning by using those words, because it's one thing to say that this is what they meant, but it's another thing to actually cite them and say this is what they said. And so that's what we kind of want you to do in reading the Congressional Globe and the debates on the 14th Amendment. So with that, what we want to do is go into those details. Then we'll get into Madison's letter. We'll do the highlights on the Federalist Papers. We're going to dive into the Department of Home. And then we will actually, hopefully, between then and sometime before then, we'll have the presentation for you to give to the highest court, your state legislators. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And actually, what we want you to do is we want you to dial our comment or question line, 425-270-5416. See, that's why I need to change those back from break little audio clips. Anyway, this is what I've heard, and I think this is something that's important to cover. I have listened for the past 4 years to the what I'll call the deep blind, and I'll call them blind because it's not like they're actually questioning and, you know, staying outside. I think it's very dangerous to become a fan of a politician. People should not be fanatics of politicians. More importantly, people should be fanatics of the Constitution. Remember, it is the citizen's oath and the oath of public service that we're to support the Constitution, not a public office, not a public person or public figure, not the government or a government bureaucracy or anything like that, or the party. We should be autonomous and independently thinking with the Constitution as our guide. So anyway, what I have heard from those who are steeped in Trump support, to the fact that I consider them blindly supporting him, what is going to happen between now and the 20th, which is tomorrow? So, and if it hasn't happened and we don't know about it, maybe it's already happened. If I call them and say, yeah, it's already happened, and they're going to tell us that what Trump has done is he's done all of the paperwork in abolishing the corporations of the United States. Now, most people do not understand that after the Civil War, there was a lot of money. And you know what? Just look at the Civil War. For 2 years, the South was winning. Britain and the South was getting a lot of their financial support and other support from foreign nations. And Britain was a huge supporter of the South. Why? Because they wanted to see the Union destroyed. Anyway, after the Civil War, and this is why we're going to go through the 14th Amendment, because Section 4 made it illegal for the United States to pay any foreign entity for any war debt for the South. Well, that didn't happen. And as a matter of fact, after the 14th Amendment, and it just actually a few years later, I think it was in the 1870s, 71, I believe, and this is all unconstitutional. Britain basically threatened us that they would wage war against us if we do not pay them. And they said, well, we've got this problem because the Constitution doesn't allow us to do that. So what Britain did was they convinced them to use backdoor unconstitutional methodologies, because there is no power delegated to the federal government to create corporations and or to, you know, become financially tied other than through a treaty. And you got to understand, the Constitution forbade the payment. They would have to amend the Constitution to constitutionally pay a foreign debtor for what happened during the Civil War. And so what we have now is we have players in the federal government who violated the Constitution and created these corporations to pay off war debt. And to this day, Britain is making money off of these corporations of the United States. Well, so apparently, Trump has done all of the legal stuff to abolish these things, and that he will be sworn in as the next legitimate president. But it will not be of the president of the incorporated United States. See, here's the problem, though. And here's what's wrong with this paradigm. Because you have to be constitutionally chosen as president. You just don't have this perpetual lifelong term as president of the United States. And these folks don't understand this, that, and this is how and why we are legitimately in a constitutional crisis. Not just the fact that, you know, we've got all of these corporations and we've got all of these other unconstitutional things going. I mean, it is a sea or an ocean of unconstitutional tyranny that we're swarmed in, or we're swimming in. It's a swamp. It is a swamp that is, you know, is oceanside or global. I mean, it is huge, folks. But the reason we're in a true constitutional crisis on leadership is that Biden is not a constitutionally appointed president. The Electoral College was unconstitutional, and we have to continually make that narrative the driving factor, that the Electoral College should not have appointed Biden, that he, the president, the office of the president, that the selection, let me clarify this, I want to say this right, so that those people with the legally minded would go, yeah, he's spot on. So because the Electoral College was unconstitutional, Congress was obligated And just due to the fact that they fail to do their job does not make it constitutional. They accept an unconstitutional electoral college. They have blood on their hands because they failed. They failed to enforce and comply to the Constitution. That in the point of time when the electors have been identified, and they were identified, and they received legal notification of petitions from thousands of Americans, state legislators and the like, those of you who supported our petitions, they were legally challenged and had to respond, and they failed to respond. And they will not respond because they don't care about constitutionality, which means that at any point in time, to their whims and their discretion, they will trample on your rights and privileges when they see fit, whenever they think it's necessary and proper. I hope you Harrys out there understand the ramifications of what I am talking about. We have truly despotic and tyrannical government, illegitimate government. So what should have happened was that Congress should have appointed the president. Now, because Congress did not constitutionally appoint a president and the Electoral College was allowed to move through, we have an unconstitutional sitting president. And if this other presidency occurs, it's kind of like we've got these two popes back in the history of the Catholic Church where there were literally two different popes. You can't. The Constitution does dictate what that process is, and because we're not following it, we do not have a legitimate president. So if anybody tells you that President Trump is the legitimate president, I'm sorry. Either Congress or the Electoral College are the ones to appoint that. So technically, if we don't have one, then at that point in time, the Speaker of the House is supposed to occupy that position until we actually have one. But because the Speaker of the House was involved in failing to do her job, she should be removed, and everybody that supported the certification of of the Electoral College, all should be removed. They violated their oath of office, and according to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, if you support rebellion, which is exactly what these 401 electors were doing. They may not have known it, but the governors and judges who illegally and unconstitutionally changed the manner of choosing our electors, then those folks that voted to actually certify or accept the Electoral College should be removed. Ignorance in the law is no excuse. We should have an empty Congress right now. And at that point in time, it needs to go back to the states, and the states need to appoint all of these new people that need to replace that. And then they need to create their new leadership and then recognize the fact, because this is really what should be happening, and then recognize the fact that now Congress has the responsibility of choosing the president, and the new Speaker of the House is the acting president, because this is what should happen technically. And so the acting Speaker of the House and the acting pro tem, and so unfortunately, the acting pro tem it doesn't even exist, actually, because if we don't have a president and vice president, that means Harris and Pence can no longer, until the 20th, because when the 20th expires the presidency, then it really comes down to a Democratic vote within Congress and a delegate vote in the House of Representatives. And what would actually end up happening is Congress would then choose President Trump. Why? Because I'm counting that it's going to go down party lines. That the delegation, now here's the question, because Liz Cheney is the delegation of Wyoming, would she really choose Biden as president? Because she's already voted for impeaching him. So those of you in Wyoming, you have not just a rhino, you have a deep state operative rhino. And the question is, and I pointed this out before, why in the heck is Cheney still in office? for the state of Wyoming. This is how blind people vote for parties. This is how screwed up the parties have made us, because people blindly trust the Republican and Democratic Party to take care of things for them, and they don't. They actually allow illegitimate or wrong people to move up the ranks. Because it doesn't matter. Their job is to make sure that these people are unfettered to do the bidding for the globalists. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let's kind of move on, and let's actually try to talk about taking back the Republic. Or actually, no, what I really mean to do, and I'm going to use the term marketing, because today's show is really a marketing show. And what we need to do, because I'm being honest and upfront, I am trying to, you know, do marketing to help convince you to pull the trigger on acting. No, when most people think of marketing, they think I'm trying to get you to buy a product. Well, technically, I am, but I'm not asking you to pull out your wallet, excuse me, to buy a product. What I'm asking you to do, and what we need you to do, is we need you to get involved. We need you to, one way or another, get involved. Now, this is where people that have money, how they get involved, like Soros, is they use their money. And then they control how that money is to be used so that they can get the outcomes that serve them. What we need to do, though, is we need to actually start talking about what we're facing. So that's what we're going to do today. And when I get into content, when I actually talk about the Missouri Compromise, the Monroe Doctrine, and those types of things, then that is content. And this is how we teach you the constitutional perspective of, you know, what government was doing. Was it aligned with the Constitution? And in some cases, it wasn't. And the Missouri Compromise is precisely one of those things. So anyway, what we want to do is we don't want to place any false hope on the equally unconstitutional government that, you know, this is legitimate, but this isn't. I don't see very much legitimacy within our federal government, very little. But the fact is that we have to start really looking at what the heck's going on. And one of the things I want to point out is a couple of weeks ago, Trump basically came out and said, if Biden gets elected, the caravans will be back. And that's exactly what we're starting to see. And as a matter of fact, One American News Now has a video on immigration and how Trump and all in Congress had basically failed to, you know, do their job. And they're showing this, I think it's coming from Guatemala, this huge caravan, and the Guatemalan government is trying to deal with, they're having problems because these people are coming as combatants to America to demand access and to overthrow our constitutional republic. I want you to understand, if you go to the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube page, I very rarely plug this, but it's on our website, and for people to meander and find things, then that's what they do. But we have actually a YouTube channel, and we have 5 dark blue background videos. These are very powerful videos because we don't pull our punches, and we lay out the facts. And we actually have this video on immigration, and that's what it's called, immigration. So look for the video titled Immigration with a dark blue background and white words, because you can see, this looks like a presentation. And that's what it is. It's a video presentation. And what we do is we prove that all of Congress and all politicians who have failed to protect the states from invasion are violating their oath of office and the Constitution. And so what we hear now in the news is Biden boldly going out to call upon Congress to violate their oath of office by illegally legalizing 11 million. So when people say, it's not an invasion. When you have 11 million political combatants that are demanding to become legal citizens and bypass the entire. So what is the immigration process? Well, what is the first thing a person has to do when they become a U.S. citizen? They have to denounce. They have to denounce their former state, their former sovereignty, and they have to they have to profoundly and legally announce that they are aligned and will support the Constitution of the United States. I mean, the naturalization process is an important and it's a legal process that must happen. When Reagan applied amnesty, he violated the Constitution. This is one of the reasons why Reagan really wasn't a great president. I am telling you that what Biden is doing is he's calling upon Congress to violate. He is violating his oath of office, and he is calling upon Congress to violate their oath of office and violate the Constitution by using a simple majority to overrule constitutional laws and the Constitution. Now, when I say that they're violating the Constitution, those aren't just, you know, words to be trifled with. Read Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, and all will be revealed. Anybody who has doubts on what the Constitution states regarding, regarding what the federal government is supposed to do, because this is a guarantee clause. This is what they call it. Article 4, Section 4 states that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion. What happened? And with the fact that Biden is recognizing, this is the key, Biden and Congress are going to recognize millions of illegals here. That's what they're basically just telling you, is that we have been invaded and we've allowed this invasion to occur and we have failed to do our job. And Biden, as a senator who allowed this to happen, has disqualified himself from public service and has never been held accountable to that, but it doesn't matter. He has still violated his oath. And if you understand Section 3, this is why we're going to go through this. Section 3, any senator, any representative, any public servant, barring the president and vice president, because the impeachment process holds them accountable specifically. But Section 3 of the 14th Amendment disqualifies any and all other public servants immediately from office. They're to be banned and removed. There is no due process. You are disqualified and are to be removed. You do not have a legal standing. You can try to sue, but bottom line, if you have failed and supported rebellion against the Constitution, in other words, we have 11 million people here, and the number has been growing. And actually, if you read the Yale research, they're in the 20s. And that was years ago. And I if you want that article, because Yale did the research, how many illegals are actually here in America? 20 million. That's big. If you understand that, that's almost 10% of America we have illegals in. That is a huge combatant force. And as a matter of fact, doesn't matter. Actually, let me just get back to the real facts. Congress is obligated to protect the states from an invasion, period. Obligated. It's not something they can whimsically desire or not do. They are to do this, and this is why we need state legislators to step in. We need state legislators to press their governor to demand that their state attorney generals sue, just like how the activist judges sued Trump over his immigration policy. But instead of suing Biden, they need to sue the federal government and every politician that is supporting this and demand that in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they be removed. Period. And so if we have a class action lawsuit come forward out of South Dakota, Wyoming, well, so Wyoming, Governor Gordon has been proven to be an absolute Democrat liberal. And this is, and the reason he is there is because of the laws that they have in Wyoming allow crossover voting the day of election. In other words, the Democrats, the day of election, can pick who they believe is their guy and actually go through and overturn the desires of the people in getting a, you know, the big rhino. And this is why they've constantly had political problems in Wyoming. When are the Wyoming people going to wake up? It's not like the Republican Party isn't combating this problem, but the people aren't listening to the party in Wyoming. They are allowing the Republicans to, the rhinos, the Democrats and progressives in Wyoming politics to destroy them. But anyway, there's plenty of other states that can come to the table and demand Congress and the president do their job and protect the states from the existing invasion and remove this invading force. They are obligated to do so. Anybody that says, oh, well, we can't deport, they are pandering to unconstitutional principles and are in jeopardy of violating their oath of office. They are required to support the Constitution, not to politically posture and compromise. Do your doggone job. Anyway, so I've railed on just this one topic, and this is just one of many that we're going to be able to cover. And one of the things they won't, these other conservative entertainers won't get into the details like this. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Get out there and get other people to help listen. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.